Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Well, hey there, and welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens. He's the president and wealth advisor at KC Financial Advisors, serving you throughout Kansas City with an office in Overland Park. You can find David by going online to coveryourassetskc.com. David, you holding up okay through these coronavirus times right now?
Yeah, things are really good for me, but for my family. We all seem to be doing fine. It is a little hard to imagine that we're going to be in this coronavirus limbo for 6 months or 9 months or a year. I'm just praying for a vaccine that is really, really good really soon.
Well, it sounds like maybe more than any time in history, so many places, countries, companies are certainly working on that exact task to get us all back to normal life as fast as possible. So Godspeed to all those people working on a vaccine. And hopefully one of them, with all those different folks working on it, David, will come up with a great solution. And hey, wouldn't it be nice if two or three of them came up with a vaccine and we had a couple of choices of, which one works the best?
That would be pretty fantastic, because they have a lot of doses to make to get that thing distributed worldwide. So it'd probably take two or three or four companies with two or three or four versions just to get us all covered.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, that's for sure. But glad to hear that you and yours are doing well, and we certainly hope the same for all our listeners here on Cover Your Assets KC. On today's show, we're talking about the three worst financial decisions you can make near retirement. And I think this will, obviously, coronavirus and COVID-19 conversations, I think, David, are going to enter the conversation for the next little while, no matter what our topic is. But today, we're kind of broadening out a little bit to talk about these worst financial decisions you can make near retirement. And as you get into number one here, David, I'm guessing you've seen people walk into your office already committing or about to commit some of these retirement sins.
I have. That's where my best examples come from, are my own real life clients and prospective clients. So you learn a whole lot by watching what people actually do and not necessarily what they say. So, you know, the listeners already know that now we're recording this in the middle of this whole pandemic thing, and there's just a lot of unemployment, eye-popping numbers of unemployment and uncertainty and when jobs are going to come back. And so the things we're going to talk about today basically presume that you currently have work. But I think there are some, and as we're going through this, I'm going to try to throw off a piece or two that might be valuable to you if you've recently found yourself unemployed or laid off, or your future is a little bit uncertain. So hopefully, regardless of which situation that you're in, you'll find something in this podcast that's actionable for you.
Sounds like a plan, David. So what's the first worst financial decision we can make near retirement?
The worst thing that I think you can do is enter retirement with too much debt. And so as you're thinking about retiring, maybe you're 60 or you're early 60s or mid 60s and you're thinking about it, you have to have a strategy for reducing the debt load that you're currently carrying. So in past podcasts, Walter, we've discussed the difference between what I call good debt and bad debt. And so what I'm really focusing on here is bad debt. If you've heard a number of these podcasts, you know that bad debt is things like credit card debt and, in certain circumstances, automobile debt, a car loan. So those are money that you borrow to finance depreciating assets, as opposed to borrowing for your home, your mortgage debt. Typically, your home is going to appreciate in value over time. So retiring with credit card debt, I would say if you've got credit card debt and you're thinking about retiring, or you have a nice, big, juicy new car loan and you're thinking about retiring, you really need to think about putting off your retirement until those things are retired, until you don't have those kinds of debt anymore. If you've got credit card debt, you are very likely living above your means. And that's a bad way to enter retirement. If you have mortgage debt, I have clients that still have a mortgage, and that's fine. They don't have a new mortgage. They might have a mortgage that has 3 or 4 or 5 years yet to go. So without going into detail, there's some pretty good detail in some older podcasts that you can find on our website. But I don't have a lot of heartburn about a client entering retirement or getting really close to retirement and still having a manageable piece of mortgage debt. So retiring with too much debt is the worst financial decision you can make, especially if we're talking about credit card and auto debt.
You can go back all the way to episode number 9. We go in depth in talking about retirement and debt and how those two things certainly relate, how to view it, what to think about it. Lots of good tips and advice for you back on episode number 9 if you want to go check that out. It was a while ago, David, when we dove into that topic. I'm sure we've had a few others since then where we've gotten into some more particulars as well. And we'll put some links in the description of today's show if we do indeed. We'll go back and look and find some of those other episodes that you can check out that relate to that conversation of debt and retirement. All right, so that's certainly a very very good one to keep top of mind in terms of a really bad financial decision that we can make close to retirement. What about the second, number 2 item on the list?
The second worst decision you can make as you near retirement is really not having a strategy for claiming Social Security. And typically that means you claim it as soon as you're offered it, which is age 62. So most listeners here would know from my general comments or a prior podcast, the longer you wait to take your Social Security, the more the government's going to give you in your monthly Social Security payment. If you start at 62 instead of your full retirement age, which is 66, age 66 plus a couple of months probably, you're going to get 30% less every month for the rest of your life. Now, if you live into your 80s, that's going to be a big number. So delaying at least until your full retirement age is a really smart strategy for most people, even if you stop working in your early 60s. The numbers kind of work out like this. If you, after your full retirement age, let's call that 66 and a half, if you wait until age 70, the amount you're going to get every month from Social Security is going to grow by 8% a year the longer you wait. After age 70, doesn't matter, doesn't get any better. So for instance, in round numbers, if you were going to get $2,000 a month at age 66, if you wait another year, instead of $2,000 a month, you get $2,160. If you wait another 2 years, you get $2,320. Grows by about 8% a year. That is important. It's really important, especially if you haven't saved a mountain of money for your own retirement. The more you've saved for retirement, the less your Social Security is going to play into the retirement income that you're going to cobble together, maybe from a pension, probably from IRAs and 401ks. But actually claiming your Social Security with a strategy that's based on you is super important. There are a couple of different factors that really go into making that decision. How soon do I start? Your health status, your gender, and your retirement lifestyle. So Social Security is built to be, there's a fancy term for it, but it's called actuarially sound. And all that means is, if you die in your early 80s, it doesn't matter whether you started early or late taking your Social Security. You're going to get the same amount of money out of it, because the actuaries have figured this out. But if you die young, well, then you're going to wish you had started early for the smaller amount, but you're going to collect it over more years. The reason I bring that up, Walter, is if I have a client sitting in front of me who has health problems, we're probably not going to wait till age 70 to start claiming their Social Security. We're going to claim it early, and that's probably pretty obvious. If, however, it's a female we're talking to and they tend to live longer than males, if they are super healthy, then there's a higher probability that they're going to live into their mid-80s, early 90s. Those are reasons why somebody would want to really look into whether or not they can wait till 70 to start taking their Social Security. So it's not a one-size-fits-all decision, but it is a decision that you want to evaluate before you get there and to make strategically and not at the last minute, oh, you know what, I guess I'll start now because I've reached an age where I'm eligible to start.
It's a great point, David, and good to remember. A lot of mistakes can be made when it comes to Social Security. You want to get that part of the equation correct, certainly. I invite folks to go back to episode 54 of the show, and David covers the top 5 Social Security misunderstandings in that episode, so you can get some more great detail on Social Security if you have some questions or want some more education about that. Again, that's back at episode 54, top 5 Social Security misunderstandings. On today's show, we're talking about the 3 worst financial decisions you can make near retirement. 2 down, 1 to go, David.
Well, so number three is not understanding the tax consequences of your retirement accounts. So we talk a lot on these podcasts about the difference between a Roth IRA and an IRA and about what your taxes are likely to look like in retirement. So kind of like, when is the economy going to open up from coronavirus? What your tax bracket is going to look like 5 or 10 years from now? Honestly, nobody knows that. Even those sitting in Congress who are going to vote on this don't really know. But I do hear a lot. So let me back up and say, if you've listened to any of these podcasts in the past, you certainly know that when you put money into an IRA or a 401k or a 403b, you get a tax deduction going in when you make the contribution, but every penny that you take out, whenever you take it out, is fully taxable, just like it was a paycheck. So at your highest marginal tax bracket. So the fact that nobody has told you what your tax bracket is going to be 10 years from now should give you a little bit of pause, especially if you think that tax rates are likely to go up in the future. Now, somebody's sitting there saying, Dave, I get it, but I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket when I retire. And to that, I would give a little pushback to say, you know what? You may not be in a lower, you may be in the same tax bracket because of these four things. There are four big deductions you have when you're working that you are not going to have when you're retired. First of all, the interest on your home mortgage. You're unlikely to have a mortgage in retirement. And if you do, it's likely to be small. And the interest component was much higher in the earlier years of your mortgage than it is in the later years. When you're working, you typically have, a lot of times you have kids at home and you get a deduction for that. But your kids aren't living with you in retirement. And if they are, they're probably not deductible. A lot of people give a lot of money to their church or to their school or whatever those charitable contributions are when they're working. But when they retire, they tend to give a lot more of their time and a lot less of their money. So that charitable deduction is going to go away. And then your biggest deduction usually is how much you're pumping into your 401k every month while you're working. Well, when you're in retirement, you don't have that. So even though your income may be lower in retirement, your deductions are going to be way lower in retirement. Consequently, you're likely to be, if you've done well for yourself over your working years, you're very likely to be in the same tax bracket than you were when you were working. And that's only if tax rates don't rise. So, Walter, have you probably heard of debtclock.org?
Oh, yeah. The web, that's kind of a fun website to fun is just a series of numbers, but fun to watch the dollars go up and up and up and up, and the counter never stops. You know, it very much feeds that OCD feeling.
It is. It definitely does. So if you're listening to this right now and you've never been to that, it's usdebtclock.org, and you ought to go and just check it out. It's pretty cool. But what it would tell you is that right now our federal debt is now $25.3 trillion. If you listen to an old podcast, maybe from a year ago, you'll know that it was about $21 trillion. We've had $4 trillion over the last year, and Congress is talking about another $3 trillion stimulus to try to get us out of this coronavirus thing. At some point, Congress is going to look around once we have a $28 or a $30 or a $34 trillion debt, and they're going to say, wow, we really need to raise tax rates because we got to get more money coming in to pay for the stuff we've already promised that we're going to do and hopefully pay down a little bit of this debt. So there are some pretty ugly estimates as to where tax rates might have to go. I've heard and actually talked about on these shows people that say, you know, tax rates are going to have to double in the future. And that may sound kind of crazy, except that when you think about the early 1960, 1961, 62, 63, tax rates in the United States were double over what we have right now. So you don't have to go back very far in our country to see when tax rates were a lot higher than they are right now.
It feels so, like we have a lot being taken out of the paychecks right now, David, but it could get a lot worse, right?
It does, and it can get a lot worse. What can you do about that while you're in the planning process? So what I just spent the last 8 minutes talking about was the problem. What's the solution? So I got a couple of different couples. These are not actual clients of mine, but they're built on on client experiences that I've had over the years with clients that are similarly situated. Couple number one, retired, 65. They have two Social Security payments. They have one pension between them, and they each have a 401k. They have a small emergency fund at their local credit union where they're going to pay for stuff that comes up. So between their pension, their two Social Securities, and the small amount that they have to take out of their 401k every month because they need it for living expenses, all of that puts them just into the 22% tax bracket. In other words, their taxable income is a little bit over $80,000 a year. Now, some of the listeners are going to say, wow, that's a lot of money. I have other listeners who are going to say, they're living on $80,000. How do they do that? Regardless, when this couple wants to take a nice vacation, which hopefully we're going to be back at doing once coronavirus is over, but they want to take money out of their, in order to do that, they have to fund it by taking money out of their 401k. And every penny that comes out of that to fund that cool vacation that maybe they're going to take with their grandkids has to come out at a 22% tax bracket. Plus, they're going to send 5% to Topeka or 5% to Jefferson City for state taxes. So about they have to take out about 30% more just to take that cool vacation. Why? Because every penny that comes out of those accounts is fully taxable, just like it was a paycheck. What they could have done instead was to have a Roth IRA or maybe some non-IRA money sitting in a brokerage account or a bank account. And that is the way that they can yearly, every other year, every 2 years, take out more money, do something cool that they want to do in retirement, but not have it play havoc with their taxes. Couple number two, situated exactly the same. Two Social Securities, one pension, two 401ks. But in this case, they each set up a Roth IRA. Maybe back when they were 50 or 55, their company offered a Roth 401k, or they just decided that they wanted to set up a Roth and were contributing to that as well as their 401k. So all else is the same except that this couple, when they go to pay their the money for the nice vacation they want to take, they pull money out of their Roth IRA, which does not cost them anything in taxes. And so they're able to stay slightly under that $80,000 threshold, and they remain in the 12% tax bracket. So having pockets of money to take out of, some tax-free, some tax-deferred, like your 401k, it's super important because that gives you flexibility when you're retired to not be on the wrong end of taxation as you're building your retirement cash flow, your retirement income. The only way, unless you get super lucky, the only way that you're going to think to do that and actually start building that, whether you're in your 30s, and we have a bunch of listeners in their 30s, whether you're in your 50s or early 60s, the only way that you're going to know, have a thought for planning for that is to actually have a plan, to understand that as you're distributing money to yourself in retirement, you need a strategy now to put yourself in a position then that you can do it tax efficiently.
So important to have that plan in place. It's all part of the complete planning review that David Dickens and the team at KC Financial Advisors offer to you. And you can come in, have a conversation about what's going on in your financial life, and get that plan to make sure that you're well established for the future, both the near term, the midterm, and of course, we never overlook the long term. David, as a quick opportunity here, given that we are recording today's episode in mid-May, right smack dab in the middle of May, what is the current status of KC Financial Advisors? How are you meeting and conducting business with clients? And if somebody is, you know, thinking about working with you in the near future, is that something that can be accomplished right now? Does it need to be remotely, in person? What's sort of your current business status?
Yeah, so we actually opened up our office last week, according to rules and regulations that Johnson County has put out. So we're wearing masks in the office, and hopefully that doesn't, you know, put anybody off. But anyway, that's we're doing that. we've spread out our appointments so that we don't have people sitting around in the lobby waiting for appointments. So when you come in, you go straight into an advisor's office. And so what we've tried to do is create an environment where we can actually do face-to-face meetings, but everybody can feel confident that when they come in, they're in a clean environment, that we're respecting their need for a safe environment, and that they're providing a safe environment for us as well. So we're working on half staff. One of the other ideas I had was that I'm going to have half my staff come in on Monday and Wednesday, the other half on Tuesday and Thursday, so we can reduce the amount of bodies that we have in our office. Again, trying to provide the safest environment that we can have for clients and prospective clients when there is a need for an in-person meeting.
Well, that's fantastic. So easy for people to come in, and great precautions that you've taken to help folks. And I'm sure you'll be adjusting those with the recommendations of the other, you know, municipalities and folks making those kinds of decisions as time goes on, right?
Absolutely. We are, since the vast majority of our clients are over 50 and a lot of them over 60, it is a population that's more at risk. So we just want to make sure that we've got, that we're doing all that we can do to provide that environment. And then we do an awful lot of phone consultations as well. So pretty much whatever makes the client feel the most comfortable, that's what we want to be in a position to do.
Well, if you want to get in touch with David and talk to him about your financial plan and get on the calendar to come in and have that review of your financial situation and go over some more really important things when it comes to planning for retirement and make sure that you don't commit one of these three biggest mistakes that folks often are in danger of committing without financial help. You don't want to make one of these bad financial decisions as you near retirement. Go to coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com, and click schedule a meeting to schedule your time to meet with David and the team. Or you can always call directly at 913-317-1414 if you have some additional questions as well. That's 913-317-1414. David, thank you for the help and the guidance on today's show. We'll do it all again next time.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Thanks, Walter.
Thank you, David.
Stay safe.
That's David Dickens. I'm Walter Storholt. Hope you are well, and thank you for listening to today's show. As always, don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions at all. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting apps. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other popular apps out there. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next time right back here on the Cover Your Assets KC podcast. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.